Take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. We're going to start out with some prayer, and then we'll get into it. If you would, while I'm praying, you pray in your seat, that God would speak to your heart. Remove me, that's my prayer, then he would remove you and be able to speak to you freely. So let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for your truth that endure forever and ever, God. Heaven and earth shall pass, but your word shall never pass. Not one jot, not one tittle. Thank you for it. God, please bless in a mighty way as we gather around your word today. I pray that you would do a work that I can't do. Lord, I just want to be a blessing, a channel of blessing. I just want to be a help. And Lord, a little bit of a strange, perhaps, start to a message, but please, God, encourage our hearts through this and help us to be more like Christ because of it. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we turn this down like a little bit? It is loud. Is it too loud out there? Because I'm going to get louder than this, most likely. All right, Revelation chapter 13, coming off of Thanksgiving and going into Christmas, I couldn't think of anything better to talk about than, do you have the mark? Do you have the mark? I say that jestingly, of course, but you'll see where we're going with this here in just a little bit. Starting in verse 11, the Bible says this, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do, in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here in his wisdom, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Probably a familiar passage, if you ever read the Left Behind or watched it. Familiar passage, the mark of the beast. If you start even Googling, is whatever the mark, and it'll fill it in for you. Is this the mark of the beast? I'm here to say it's not. Whatever you're wondering about, you haven't got it. Right? We're going to go through this passage and we're going to look at it, but I just want to remind us here today that Satan is an imitator. That's all he is. All he can do is imitate God. He's not original. He wants to be like God. He wants to be above God. He wants to supplant God, but he's not God, and he's not the originator of anything but lies and evil. Right? So even if you look at verse 4, we see this. We'll start here. "And they worship the dragon." There you have Satan. They worship the dragon, right? And we're not going to go through the whole context of Revelation. That would be fun, but not fitting for today. "And they worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast." That's the Antichrist. There's going to come on, most likely a man, right? A man that is going to set himself up a peacemaker to all the world. A covenant's going to be signed. And Israel's going to have peace, right? We're praying about that, right, brother? We're praying for the peace of Israel and Jerusalem because the Bible says so. Well, he's going to sign the covenant and bring peace to the Middle East. Hallelujah. And then 3.5 years into the tribulation period, he's going to set himself up in the temple of God as God, and Israel's going to say, oh, no. Oops. We messed up. Right? So that's the first beast there. That's the Antichrist. And then we come down to our verses in verse 11. "And I beheld another beast," and that's the false prophet. And again, all Satan is an imitator. That's the unholy trinity, the dragon, the Antichrist, Satan, Antichrist, and the false prophet. Who are they imitating? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. Right? So this, in verse 11, this another beast coming up out of the earth with the two horns, that is the false prophet. And down at the end, he's going to cause the world to take the mark. And we're going to get to that. But let's look at some other things, because he works up to that. He's not just going to come on the scene and just start marking people. He's got a very interesting, if you could call it, ministry. It's not. It's destructive. Look at verse 12. He exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. So his ministry, if you will, is that of the Holy Ghost. He's the imitator of the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost that causes us to come to Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ who died on... We don't have a cross. I'm sure it's back there somewhere. But it's Jesus Christ who died on the cross at Calvary. And it's the Holy Spirit of God that touches our heart and says, you know you need Jesus. You know you're a sinner. Pastor talked about that this morning. You know you're a sinner. And because of your sin, there's a wage. And that wage is death. And it's the Holy Spirit that's come into the world to reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment, right? It's the Holy Spirit that draws all men to Jesus Christ, right? He's drawing. Some don't respond. Well, this false prophet, if you will, the another beast, his job is to cause the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. So here this false prophet is going to go around saying, you need to worship him. He's pointing to the Antichrist. He's the one that you need to be worshiping, right? And there's much that can be said about that. Galatians, another gospel, all that, right? Another Christ. Verse 13. And then he doeth great wonders so that he maketh, now watch this, fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. So we understand this. This is just a fun thing for me to look at. But in the book of Acts, you see the apostles doing great miracles, great and wonderful healing ministries, all of that, right? The shadow of them passing over would heal people. Just miraculous ministries, which is no more. But they are coming again. There will be a day, there will be a time where miracles are on the scene again, and it's right here. And it's by this guy, right? He's going to be performing all of these things, and fire is going to be coming down from heaven. Not like Elijah calling down fire from God, but he's going to exercise power, and he's going to deceive the nations because of his works, right? Now, continue in verse 14. Saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. So they're going to make an image to him. An image of Antichrist. And they're going to set it up. And here we're going to get to this in just a minute, even more detail. But that should take us all the way back to Daniel. Right? Nebuchadnezzar had a dream and he built an image, a very big image, right, of himself, of his dream. And here, that's what Antichrist is going to do. That they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Verse 15. And he had the power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. I remember what happened to Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. Not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's their slave names, right? Their biblical names, their Jewish name, Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, right? You remember what happened to them? We're not careful to answer thee in this matter. O king, we're not going to fall down. We're not going to worship. We're not going to participate in this idolatry. We're not going to have any part of that. And so he, in his wrath, gave him another chance. But they said, no, we're not doing that. So in his wrath, what did he do? He heated up the furnace 7 times and had his people throw him in and his people burned up. But what happened to the 3 Hebrews? They're walking in the midst of the furnace, right, with one that looked like the Son of God. Amen. Right? Amen. Here, that's not going to happen. God in his providence and God in his wisdom is going to allow that when the beast, or when this another beast, the false prophet, he had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the first, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. There's going to be a lot of death. God's not going to deliver in that day. He may choose providentially to deliver some over others, but he's going to withdraw his hand. And we understand that from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that he's just going to remove the restraint. The restrainer's going to be gone, and the wicked one that is the prince of the power of the air in this world system is just going to have their way. And God's going to say, okay. But we don't need to fear for them because God has a great reward for these people. Right? These people are bold in their faith. These people are saying, just like those three Hebrews, we're not careful to answer you in this matter, old false prophet. They won't know that's him. Right? The Antichrist is going to be a wonderful person at first. And then he's going to make war. But we're not careful to answer you. You could take our lives. You could come in here. And you can do whatever you want, but we're not going to fall down and we're not going to worship your image. And they're going to die. Right? Would we be willing to do that, though, right now? Now, I'm going to tell you right now, that's not us. This is not us. This is not for us. This is for us to learn from, but we're not ever going to have to worry about this. We'll be gone. Right, that restrainer is going to be taken out. The Holy Spirit's going to be taken out. That's us, the church, the Holy Spirit of God in us. And God is going to begin that 70th week with the signing of the peace treaty. Lots can be said, right? We're never going to have to worry about this mark that's coming up in the next verse. But these people are going to be bold for their faith. These people are going to stand up for God. They're going to stand up for Jesus Christ. And they're going to give their lives for it. Would we do that? I fear that the time is coming where we may be tested. Sooner rather than later, most likely. And as the day grows nearer and nearer, Christians are going to be more and more despised. And we will suffer tribulation. We will suffer persecution as Christians. Anyways, verse 16, and he causeth. So after he's killed everybody who doesn't worship, right? Line it up, worship the beast. No, I'm not going to worship. You die. You're dead. Okay. Verse 16, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. So make no mistake, this is not going to be an accidental type of thing here. These people are going to make a conscious decision that, yep, I'm for that one right there. That's my God. I'm going to worship him, and I got his mark, and I'm going to take his mark. And what is this mark? It's identification. He's mine, and I belong to him, and he belongs to me. And it's protection. It's provision. Verse 17, and that no man buy or sell, save he that hath the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. What a crazy day. So if they do, by some means, escape death, if they don't have that mark, they can't buy anything. They can't do anything. Here in his wisdom, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. And here's the most important part of this whole thing right here. The number of the beast, the mark of the beast. Here's his number. For it is the number of a man. That's not God. His name, his number, his mark, that's not God. That's the number of a man. 666. 777 is holy, holy, holy. Amen. This is 666. Man, man, man. And again, I say that all Satan can do is imitate and imitate and imitate. So where does this mark come from? So I want to take a little journey through the Bible, okay? Can we do that together? Take your Bible and go all the way back to Genesis. We'll try not to spend too much time on this, but I think it's interesting to note, where did the mark come from? Because you're not ever going to have to worry about the mark of the beast if you're saved here today. Yeah, amen. But Genesis, look at verse 4, or chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Verse 15. You know this story. There's Cain and Abel, and Cain and Abel, in the process of time, the Bible says, they brought an offering to the Lord. And Abel brought blood offering. Cain brought fruit of the ground. You can do with that what you will. But look at verse 15. And because Cain was bitter, not verse 15 yet, Cain was bitter, what did he do? He killed his brother. Bitterness. He killed his brother. Hey, Cain, where's your brother? Am I my brother's keeper? Getting smart with God. Right? Verse 13, we'll start there. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. He put him out. You're going to be a fugitive and a vagabond in verse 12. Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hidden, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. So what is that mark for? In the principle of the first mention in the Bible, the first time that this is found, a mark being set on somebody, is for protection. I've heard people say that the mark is all kinds of different things. I don't care what it is. The mark was a good thing for Cain. The mark said, I'm God's, I'm protected by God, and if you touch me, you're gonna incur the wrath of God. That's what the mark is, right there. Right? That's what the false prophet was emulating. Hey, I'm Satan's. I'm Antichrist. I belong to him and he belongs to me. So we go to the next one. Look at Ezekiel chapter 9. This is fun. Some of these passages are like, you never get to hear them preach on because they're kind of strange, but it is fun to think about. Ezekiel chapter 9. Ezekiel chapter 9 and verse 4, the Bible says this. And the Lord said unto him, there's a writer with an inkhorn, okay? And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry, for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said in my hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Hey, that's good preaching for another day right there. What's God going to do? He's going to start with the house of God and cleanse us up, right? We shouldn't be so worried about what he's going to do to the drunks. What's he going to do with us? We shouldn't be so concerned what he's going to do with the streetwalkers up in Virginia Beach. What's he doing with us? He's going to start right here and work outward. By the way, we should be that light. We should be making an effect on this world. Pastor was talking about that today. We should be doing something, and we should be in the extension of the Lord and be reaching people and seeing lives changed. He's going to start right here. Start in the sanctuary, at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. They had one rule. Kill everybody that doesn't have the mark of God. The one writer with the inkhorns going through, and he's finding those that are crying for the wickedness that is in the world. Somebody standing in the gap, somebody interceding, somebody praying, somebody who mourns over the wickedness in my flesh and in your flesh and in the house of God. He's saying, I want you to find them, and I want you to mark them, because those are mine. And then you guys, kill the rest. That's harsh. But the day's coming. There's a mark. And that's all God's looking for, is the mark. Can I spoil it? I believe it's the Holy Spirit of God. I believe it's the blood of Christ. Do you have the mark? Turn with me, if you will, to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. We are going somewhere with this, I hope. Revelation chapter 7, look at verse 4. Here's another passage that's fun and interesting. If you ever talk to somebody who believes that there's only 144,000 that'll be saved, well, they're kind of right, but they're mostly wrong. Look at Revelation chapter 7, and we'll start at verse 3. The Bible says this, saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel." Now I'm going to start something, and we're going to go to chapter 14. Go ahead and turn to chapter 14. The 144,000 are Jews. They're not the church. They're not anybody else. They're not Asian, unless they're Asian Jews, I suppose. But they're Jews. Right? So if somebody comes to your door saying, "I'm part of the 144,000, and they're not Jewish, they're not. Look at verse 14. Now, that's free. So look at 14, verse 1. "And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Sion, with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of the harpers harping with their harps." Verse 4, sorry. "These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God." So we saw Cain. And we saw in Ezekiel's time that rider with the inkhorn looking for the righteous. And then here in the book of Revelation, in the end times, during the tribulation, God's going out, having his angels go out and choose out 144,000. 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes. Interesting study. There's one tribe not mentioned. I'll leave that for you. And here's what the 144,000 are. They're Jews. Verse 4 tells us that they're virgins and they're males. And verse 5 tells us in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Let's just say they're holy. These are godly, virgin, male Jews. And really, this is free. That disqualifies most of the people coming to talk to you about the 144,000. Okay? So the next time you're knocking on a door or somebody knocks on your door, just understand that, Revelation 7 and 14, male, virgin, holy Jews. All right. But they got the mark on their forehead. Whose mark? The Father's name. Right? The Father's name. Now take your Bibles and turn to Revelation 22, because this hasn't happened yet. This one's coming. That one hasn't happened yet either. But Revelation chapter 22. This is after the New Jerusalem. This is in eternity. By the way, what a great verse. From death to life. And I understand I deserve to die and go to hell. When I got saved and trust Christ, I was promised eternal life. But here's what I've been thinking about here recently. This is just the starting point. We live 70, 80 years, whatever it happens to be, 80, 86, 100, maybe 110, maybe. And then we die, and that's what we think about. And then you're in heaven. No. And then we enter into life. Eternity. And one day, and this has nothing to do with today, this is just me just glorying in God. Because this is all we know. This isn't life. Because we still have this sin curse on us and we have this flesh to deal with. But one day, God's going to reconcile all that and change it all back. And we are going to be glorified, living on a new heaven, new earth, and life. Just not yet. But one day, man, I don't know. I don't even know if I can explain that properly. Just, wow, God is good. We focus so much here, but this isn't God's focus at all. He's given us life. Anyways, Revelation chapter 22. So in eternity, if you will, verse 3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Verse 4, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. My name shall be in their foreheads. So for all of eternity, we're going to bear the mark, the seal, if you will, of God, the Father, his name on us. Can you take the mark of the beast? No, not going to happen. If you're saved, it's not going to happen. If you're not saved, it's quite likely, actually. But we can have the mark of God. Now, so a couple of things. And then we'll be finished up. Number one, you don't have the mark of the beast. Do you have the mark? Nope. You don't have the mark of the beast. And you will never have the mark of the beast. Number two, judgment is coming if you're saved. I must say that. If you're saved. If you're not, and you're here, and you're trusted. We went to the mall yesterday, and some people were talking about taking money for homeless people. So I was talking to them a little bit. And asked him if he was saved, because they had Bible verses on everything. He said, yep. I said, so you know 100% that you're saved. Oh, nobody can know that. Well, there is a talking point. Because the Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. So either he was right and God was wrong, or he was wrong and God was right. I go with the latter. He was wrong. God is always right. Okay, and we can know. Because there was a day where I was born. I don't remember that day, but I do know I was born. And if I didn't, I have a birth certificate to prove it. But there was a day I was born again. And we sing a happy birthday song sometimes. Happy birthday to you. Only one will not do. Born again means salvation. How many have you? Right? Do you have that second birth? If you've been born again, your sins are forgiven. You're on your way to heaven. You're sealed, by the way. We're getting there. All right? But before we do, Antichrist and that false prophet put a lot of emphasis. And mind you, and I kind of breezed through it, he's making this happen. He's causing this to happen. You're going to die if you don't worship. You're going to take the mark of the beast. You will do this or suffer the repercussions, right? But God says, that's all right. Take that mark. I got something coming for you. If you want to, turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 14. We'll only turn to a few more verses because we have a business meeting. But I just want to show you that while it may look like Satan's winning, and it surely is going to look like Satan is winning during this time, he's not. And I'm so encouraged by Job. Sure. You could touch his body, don't touch his life, right? You could take everything he has, but don't touch his body. That's opposite orders, right? God puts limits on that created being, that created fallen angel, Satan, Lucifer. And one day, Revelation chapter 14, verses 9 through 11 says this, and a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment. I think God's serious. Don't take that mark. Don't align yourself with Satan. The smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night
who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Well, I just don't believe in a God that could send people to hell. Then you don't believe in the God of the Bible. Because there's going to be some people, not you, but there's going to be some people that are going to receive the mark of the beast. And God says, if you do, literally speaking, you're damned for all of eternity in fire and judgment and torment. Hey, if you're not saved, wouldn't you like to get saved today?
Amen. Amen.
But there are rewards. I kind of mentioned this earlier. There are rewards for those who stay faithful. Revelation chapter 20. There are going to be those who will die for their faith. There's always been those that have died for their faith. They sang about it. Jesus Christ was born so that he could pay the sin debt, that he could die. Born to die. The cross was a gruesome, terrible occurrence. But it had to happen. That was his purpose. Thankfully, his next purpose is King and Lord. Right? Revelation chapter 20, look at verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And I'm telling you what, I don't want to be behind them when they're getting their rewards. I don't want that. There are some people, I don't want to be behind the Apostle Paul when the Apostle Paul is saying, Brother Reed mentioned this verse to me earlier, reminded me, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to be behind him. What did you do for Christ? Well, I mean, I did kind of teach teenagers, but I was beaten. I suffered shipwreck. I was stoned, and I kept going. I finished my course. So did I. I think we're going to be so embarrassed. I think I'm going to be so embarrassed. There are some of you in this room I don't want to be behind when we're getting rewards. But he's got something for people that stay faithful. Right? We couldn't go to Hawaii on our family vacation. Big whoop-de-de-doo. So I said to my wife, hey, let's just pray that the Lord would let us rule over Hawaii. Right? In the millennial. That'd be awesome. Anyways. No masks. Sorry, Hawaii. I have to hasten. I'm sorry. Number next. We who are saved have the mark, the seal of God. And I don't want to go through all of these, but you could look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. And this is a good one. After that ye believe, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You were sealed. After that, you were saved. The Holy Spirit of God entered into you. And not only is with you, but he is in you. And you're sealed. You have the mark of God, the Holy Spirit. And somebody said, hey, if God's so big, shouldn't he be poking out of us somewhere? And it's true. If God is so big, shouldn't he be showing himself in me somewhere? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, you don't have to turn there. Who hath also sealed us and given us, I love this, the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Amen. The earnest. I love that word. Because yep. When you're buying a house, you put that earnest payment down, like 1%. Right? Just a little bit. Here, this is just to show you that I'm serious about this transaction. And God says, hey, I'm going to give you the earnest of the Spirit. And the best day here on earth is just a percentage of what glory is going to be. I look forward to that. Yes, sir. Where God says, no more sin. No more battling with this old stinking flesh. Right? I look forward to that day. Ephesians chapter 4. This will be, I think, my last verse. It has to be. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. And I think it's a fitting one to close on. And most of you probably know it. Ephesians 4:30 says this. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. I'm so thankful that he doesn't say you're sealed until you mess up. Right? Or you're not sealed at all. You just kind of do your best. We'll see what happens. I'm so glad. I'd mess it up every day. But he does say, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed. He's in us, and we're sealed in our sins of omission, the things we don't do, and the things of commission, the things that we do that are against God, grieve him. And we have the mark of God on us if we're saved. We have the Holy Spirit of God. We've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and we've been baptized by the Spirit of God, and we have been sealed and marked by God. I have you? Do you have the mark? Father, thank you for our time today.